What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listen to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. Thank all y'all for tuning in. And today, our topic is going to be how to be successful in treatment. And if you know, if you're suffering from opiate addiction or you're suffering from some kind of addiction and you want to get clean and stay clean and be successful long term, you know, I'm just gonna give some tips on how to be successful at that, because there's a million different ways to get the right answer. And you know, trying to get sober, for anybody, you know, you can go a million different routes to do it, but it's a tough, hard battle. And I see a lot of people fail at it, you know, being in the behavior health field. I see a lot of people fail at it, and I kind of analyze them, and when I meet with them and, you know, kind of go over everything, and I kind of see the holes that cause them to relapse. And, you know, it's different for everybody, but we're going to use this session to kind of go in on how not to fall in those holes. And there's a lot of different ways not to fall in those holes. And like I said, it's always going to be an uphill battle through your recovery, because that's just what recovery is. It's not meant to be simple. If it was simple, then we wouldn't even have this problem that we're having. Coda. Yeah, girl. Sorry, that's my doggy going crazy. Anyways, Coda. So if you're suffering from opiate addiction, you need to get some kind of medication-assisted treatment, whether it's Suboxone, Subutex, at least in my opinion, methadone, and those are all blockers to help prevent you from relapse. So you want to get some kind of treatment, whether it's with a psychiatrist or, you know, a clinic. You want to have some kind of backbone, because what's going to happen when you stop using, you know, you're going to go through withdrawals. And I feel like that's where a lot of people break at. Not everybody, but a lot of people. They go into detox and they want to get off of everything. And they get out of detox, and then they go right back to using it again, because there was nothing to fill that void of that the cravings and the withdrawals cause. So I always suggest being in some kind of treatment, whether it's methadone, Suboxone, Subutex, Sublocade, Vivitrol. You know, depending on what your insurance is or cash flow, you know, that's what it's going to depend on, what kind of treatment that you're eligible for. So check online to see what kind of coverage that you get. Honestly, I'm a fan of methadone, and I'm a fan of Suboxone, because both of those are readily available for most people who are suffering from opioid addiction. Most insurances cover it, whether it's Medicaid or Medicare, and it's affordable for most folks. So having that in place so that you're not out there using, and you have some kind of medication that you're getting the help with the cravings and help with the withdrawals, is important in your treatment. I've seen people get clean that don't use those two methods, and, you know, well, I can't say that. My sister got clean, but she was on Suboxone for a while, and then she tapered off the Suboxone, and then she, you know, but so she did use some kind of treatment. So to me, you're a lot more successful if you have something to bite on for those cravings. One of the biggest misconceptions that I see people do is they're scared to go up on their dose when they're on methadone or Suboxone. And the key to being on that medication is get stable on your dose. And by being stable, that means the cravings are completely gone. And that way you don't have the craving to use anymore. And a lot of people do not do that. A lot of people get on methadone and they hear stuff from other people or friends or family, and they end up not wanting to go up on their dose. And then the whole time that they're on methadone, they're using, because they've never controlled a stable dose that got their cravings fully under control. And that's where a lot of people mess up at, in my belief. And being a case manager, you know, I meet with these folks all the time. And then what ends up happening is that they don't go up on that dose. Then they want to go to a detox center and detox off of everything. So then they go to a detox center and then they detox. And then, you know, they're only in those centers for maybe seven to 10 days. They get out of there, they go back to their environment that has a lot of the triggers. They never have their cravings fully under control. They detox off everything. And then as soon as they come out, they go right back to using again. And those folks are highly likely to overdose due to detoxing and pretty much resetting their body to not know what opiates they were using. And then they end up overdosing because they stopped using for so long. They took a little break and then go back to trying to use the same amount they were using before they went into detox. And I see a lot of people fail when they go into these detox centers because they don't have any kind of plan or medication assistant treatment in place that's gonna be their backbone. So that's why I see a lot of people fail at. So what I would suggest is getting on some kind of medication assisted treatment. Once you're on the medication assisted treatment, you gotta get to a stable dose. Once you work your way up to that stable dose, then you wanna look at your triggers. Once you identify your triggers, and sometimes it's family members, sometimes it's relationships, sometimes it's our environment, sometimes it's our friends, sometimes it's having a bad day, sometimes it's going to work. We got to pay attention to what our triggers are. And I tell people that I meet with all the time, write down all your triggers. Bring me a list of your triggers so I can go through it and we can come up with a plan on how to overcome each one of these triggers. So you want to identify your triggers, what your triggers are going to be. And then once we figure out our triggers, I always suggest some kind of additional treatment, whether it's residential treatment, sober living. And sometimes that's hard for a lot of people. Sometimes it's hard for a lot of people to want to go into a residential treatment or go into a sober living because they don't want to leave the life that they're living. Sometimes they don't want to leave their spouse. They feel like they can't leave their kids. But in order to truly get clean, you gotta be selfish and give yourself that time in treatment to become clean. You gotta regain some of the coping skills that you lost while using, because when you're out there using, you don't really give two fucks about life anymore. You know, you don't care about your kids anymore. You don't care about your work. And I see a lot of people spiral downwards because they just get so involved in using that they, you know, you lose the focus on everything. And that's okay. That happens. Most people go through that. And those are some of the signs that people see when their family members or husbands or spouses or friends are going through that type of stuff. But you got to be selfish and you got to give your time. You got to give yourself that time to get clean. And you know, if you have a good backing in medication-assisted treatment and you check yourself into some kind of program, I always suggest inpatient or sober living to most of my clients, because it takes a lot of times it's the environment that they're in that is the biggest trigger. You know, their phone rings, they're in a toxic relationship. They got friends that live right next door. They got family members that live right in the next room. And sometimes those are the biggest triggers. And unless you get out of that environment for a little bit, you will never learn how to overcome those triggers. And going into a treatment facility removes you from that environment. It automatically puts you and surrounds you around other people that are sober or trying to get sober or going through the same thing. And you're usually working some kind of program, whether it's 12 steps or something based around your treatment. And you know, that's important to have around you, because it clears your mind up and it gets you looking at the other side of the coin, which when you're in the streets using or you're at home using, that's a lot of times the problem. And you only got tunnel vision, and you don't see through your peripherals to see everything that's going on in your life. And that's where a lot of people fail at. So getting into, I always suggest, if you got stuff going on in your life, like family, kids, work, and you're maintaining and you're a functioning addict, I always say go to a sober living. That's where I'm going to suggest you to go to, because that allows you to at least, you got to be sober to get there. If you can afford it, but usually you have to pay out of pocket for sober living. But if you're a good case manager, you can find grants for your clients that will cover some of that cost, at least for a little bit. And even if it's 30 days, getting out of your environment for 30 days can make all the difference. And sometimes 30 days of being sober and can really open your eyes. But if you never even try, then it's going to be hard to get clean. Sometimes it's better to go into a detox center before you go into a sober living, or go into a, because then you already started the process to get clean. I never suggest going into a detox unless you got something going afterwards. So another plan that's going to happen, a follow-up plan that's going to happen as soon as you get out of detox. Because what happens is you get out of detox, you go right back into that toxic relationship, you go right back into that environment, and you end up going right back to using. So usually I would say at least go away for 30 days, whether it's detox, whether it's residential treatment or sober living, minimum. Usually it's better if you go for 3 months at least, is what I always suggest, because 3 months of being clean can make all the difference in your life and really show you what it is to be sober. I tell a lot of people, you gotta base your life around treatment, not treatment around your life. And a lot of people fail at getting sober because when they go into treatment, they try to base their treatment around their lifestyle. And that's a common mistake that I see a lot of people do. For example, there was a gentleman who I've been working with for the past year. And, he would just come in. He maintained a job the whole time that he came to me. And he always smelled like fentanyl. And I would tell him straight up, man, what are you doing? This dude was doing 20 to 30 pills a day. And you know, I one time I broke him down. We went and chatted for a good 30 minutes. And maybe a little less than that, probably like 20 minutes. Hardly ever do I need 30 minutes with somebody to kind of give them, present them options. But, you know, he was working two jobs. And I was just kept it real with him. I'm like, dude, how are you able to maintain two jobs doing 20 to 30 pills a day? Like, how do you do that? You got to be nodding out at these jobs. And he admitted to it. He told me straight up, dude, I am nodding out at these jobs. I don't know how I'm doing it. And, you know, I kind of presented him some options and how to get clean. He didn't go through any kind of residential treatment or sober living. This was a decision that he made on his own because he overdosed. Being a case manager, always provide your clients with Narcan and make sure they have Narcan when they are using, because it's only a matter of time. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. Because eventually it's going to happen. And you want to make sure you equip your clients with Narcan. Explain to them naloxone. Explain how it works. Explain to them how to use it. Explain to them who around them needs to know that they have this tool. Because if they use alone at their house, and their family members hardly ever know that they're using alone at the house, and they don't know that they have naloxone kits, and they find their loved ones overdosed, they're not going to be able to save that person without a Narcan kit. So it's important that they know where that Narcan's at so that they can react quickly to trying to save their life. And Narcan to me 100% works most of the time. As long as the person's not left for too long, it works. But so everybody that is using, make sure that you guys all have naloxone. Make sure you teach your loved ones how to use it. Even if your kid is 15, 16 years old, you know, that kid can save you. Your mom who's 70 years old can save you. Your wife can save you. So make sure that you are informing your family members and your loved ones where this naloxone kit is at. Make sure it's not expired. Make sure that you know, if you have to have more than one, make sure you have more than one kit. And speak to your case managers about getting those naloxone kits. I know here in Arizona, there's a standing order that you can get and have at your pharmacy. And your pharmacy, most of the time, will just give you them for free just to keep you safe. But if you have that standing order, you can go and just get it whenever you need it. And they have different forms of it, of naloxone that you can use. But definitely have naloxone if you're out there using. To all your case managers and counselors, make sure your client is equipped with naloxone that they're using. Because like I said, it's not a matter of how it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. But like I said, get into a good medication-assisted treatment. Research different detox centers if you're going to go into the detox center. Get into some kind of treatment, whether it's residential or sober living. Both of them work really good. Residential treatment is more like you're in a facility that you cannot leave, unless you get like special permission to go out. They might grant you like 8 hours on a Sunday or something like that to go visit family, you know. But most of the time you're in that treatment facility, and they do a lot of activities in there. They give you a lot of counseling. They usually assist you with your medication. And they just provide you a lot of resources so that you're successful when you come out of treatment. And there's a lot of different programs if you're pregnant and if you're going through all that. Having, you know, with your young ones, sometimes they'll allow your young ones to go with you. So check in, you know, whatever your situation is, try to find some kind of residential treatment center that will take you and your situation so that you're not burdened with how you're going to do it. Even people with with dogs and animals. There's facilities that will be a safe haven for your pets while you're in treatment. So if that's something that's keeping you from going to treatment, look into those type of facilities as well. If that's something that you're dealt with and you're is being held up due to not having a place for your pets to go to. So that's always another option for folks that have pets. But medication assisted treatment, residential sober living, and stay involved when you get out of those facilities. Stay involved in classes, NA, AA. Like I said, you want to base treatment. You want to base your life around treatment, not treatment around your life. So you always want to stay involved. You always want to stay, around people that are sober, whether it's family or a sponsor. You want to stay with some. You want to stay in a sober environment. And, I see a lot of people get clean and then they go back to the old neighborhood. They go back hanging around friends and families that were using, and they find themselves right back using again. And it's really dangerous to get clean and then have slip ups. That's when your body stops being recognizing these opiates that you were using, and then you just spiral down again. So make sure that you stay involved in different groups. If you don't have family members around that are sober, and you slowly start putting the pieces back together as you go, because if you don't have a good support system around you when you come out of treatment, a lot of times you find yourself going right back to using again. So you want to make sure you get out of your treatment centers, whether it's sober living or residential, and you just want to kind of keep a good support system around you. So when you come out of there, you're not going back to the old neighborhood. You're not, and that's why I tell people to go to sober living, because you can stay in sober living as long as you want, as long as you're paying, because in sober living, they more expect you to find a job so that you're able to maintain your payments over there. And then you just pay them monthly. A lot of times it's really, really affordable, like $680. And if you don't got a lot of family around, that's really, really doable. And they help you find, they give you a lot of resources for employment. So once you're working, all you got to focus on is paying your sober living and maybe just your phone bill. And that's a good way to stay sober and maintain sobriety, while you're on medication assisted treatment, and you're working your mat services, you're going to work, you go to your you go back to your sober living. And a lot of times you're working a 12-step program there, so you have a sponsor, and you just got a lot of positivity in your corner that is going to help you be successful. So I tell a lot of people, if you go to a residential treatment, your insurance will most likely pay for that. You can be there for 30, you can be there for 60 to 90 days and that, get out of there and then go right into a sober living. That's a great way to be successful in your treatment, because now you went from having 90 days clean to now going into a sober living. And a lot of times you come out of residential treatment with a job. A lot of sometimes the residential treatment facilities will even hire you. Sometimes it takes you into the peer support role. And your journey of being clean and staying clean in recovery starts when you enter those facilities a lot of the time. So I'm a big fan of residential treatment. I'm a big fan of sober living. And if you start with medication assisted treatment, you go into residential treatment, come out of residential treatment, go into sober living, and you stay in a good sober living facility, you get your sponsor, you work in groups, you're working, you start developing a lot of those coping skills that you lost while you were using, and you start putting your life back together. And you know, a lot of times you come out of there knowing how to maintain after sober living, and you look at your path a year later, 2 years later, and you're like, wow, I never want to go back to that. And I see a lot of people successful when they go into that route because they find out what works for them. They found out that did work for them, and they were sober that whole time. And a lot of times they don't go back to using because of that. But like I said, you always got to base your treatment, your life around your treatment, and not your treatment around your life. And to me, those are the ways to be successful with this. And like I said, not everybody goes that route. I've seen people stay sober without going that route, but it's at some kind of cost, you know, whether it's not having the coping skills to know how to apply for jobs, not learning how to write an application, and you know, they stay sober, but then they don't know how to do a lot of stuff in their life, and you know, they get frustrated with their life because they cannot, they never developed those coping skills that they lost, and you know, they find themselves just in a rough position even though they're still sober. But anyways, that's all I got for us, you guys, today. It's your boy Nasty Backpack. Stay sober, stay clean. If y'all ever need anything, y'all can always reach me at nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on the gram. Nasty Backpack. It's your boy. We out.